Welcome to Ira's Everything Bagel, where I talk with intriguing people about everything, their passions, pursuits, and points of view. Well, while it's true that many of us pursue highly intellectual activities, read War and Peace once a year, even attend the opera now and again, it's a given that many of us have guilty pleasures, and one of them, or three of them, are the Three Stooges. Now, Moe and Larry are the constants in the Three Stooges universe, but the third stooge is generally remembered as Curly. But there's one original stooge that has never been celebrated or given his due until now. My guest today is Bert Kearns. He's author of Shemp, the biography of the Three Stooges. Shemp Howard, the face of film comedy. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and all the usual places. For everything about Bert, go to bertkearns.com, and you can go to shempbook.com, and you can follow those two on Instagram. And Bert, welcome back to the show.
Oh, great to be here. Thanks, Ira.
Yeah, pleasure. So why did Shemp not get the prominence he deserved in the Three Stooges?
Well, really, Shemp was put in a very thankless role in the Three Stooges when he replaced Curly in 1946. Curly was the star of the team, Moe, Larry, and Curly. Moe was the angry one. Larry was the sort of everyman on the side there. And Curly was this dervish of energy. He was this child man who would bark like a dog and spit on the floor. Audiences loved him, and then later, kids loved him. When he was too ill to carry on with the group, Shemp, the older brother, which I'll explain in a bit, the older brother came in, took over. Shemp was not Curly. He was as talented as Curly. He was just as good at comedy, but he had that face. He looked like a man who'd been through hundreds of miles of hard road as opposed to Curly. So Shemp really never had a chance to get his due when it came to the Three Stooges.
Why did you decide to write about Shemp? You've written many books and you've been a guest on my show a couple of times already, and I always enjoyed talking with you. Well, what pointed you in the direction of Shemp?
Well, I like to say that I had just finished a book on Marlon Brando and couldn't think of another actor or performer of the 20th century who had the sexual charisma and beauty of Marlon Brando. It could only be Shemp. But seriously, folks, what we found when we started this book was that there had never been a biography of Shemp. There have been books on Moe, Larry, Curly, even Joe Besser, who replaced Shemp after Shemp's death, and Joe Derrida, but Shemp did not. And started doing the research, this became much more than a biography project, because I found that most everything that you have heard about or what's written about the Three Stooges isn't true. And I had to dig through to find out what the truth was.
How'd you go about your research? Because clearly Shemp comes from another period of time where there's not a lot of contemporary friends, acquaintances, business associates around, if any. So were you able to contact anybody that sort of knew him, maybe as a kid, that they were a kid and or a grandkid or something? How did that work?
Fortuitously, Shemp does have relatives who are alive. He has a daughter-in-law. She's in her 90s now. And he's got two granddaughters, one of which was a baby when he was still alive. And along with Shemp's great-granddaughter, have a Facebook group called the Shemp Howard Goyles Group, where they answer questions and post photos and talk about the person they remember as Papa Shemp. They've done question and answers and live streams on Facebook. So there's a lot of information there. But the problem and the issue was, when I went to all of the books that have been written about the Three Stooges, most all of them have been written by people who are part of this Stooges fan community, this cult of the Three Stooges lovers. I'm not part of that. I'm not insulting anyone to say that I loved the Three Stooges as a kid. I grew out of them. But a lot of people haven't, and they continue to discover the Three Stooges because the act is pretty timeless. What I found was that most of what was written about the Three Stooges' history, to the detriment of Shemp, is misinformation, because they all go back to the Bible. And the Bible is a book that Moe Howard wrote at the end of his life. It was his autobiography. It was ultimately called I Stooged to Conquer. And he died before he finished it. His daughter completed it for him. And most of it isn't true. On that, by going back to the trade publications, to the original interviews with the people, that the story of Shemp Howard the public image of Shemp Howard as this phobic, scaredy cat, afraid of his own shadow, ugly person was did not jibe with the facts. When you go back to the beginning of the story, Three Stooges were brothers. Shemp, of the five brothers who went into show business, he was the oldest of the three. Mo was 2 years younger than Shemp. And then all along down the line, 8 years later, came Jerome, who became known as Curly. Mo and Shemp started out as a vaudeville act. They did a blackface act where they ripped off of a famous African-American duo called Moss and Fry. They went out and tried that. And then around 1923, Shemp and Mo hooked up with one of Mo's childhood friends, a guy named Ted Healy. Ted Healy was a popular comedian and song and dance man, very popular on Broadway and in vaudeville. They joined his troupe as Two Stooges. And they weren't called Stooges at the time, but they were the guys where Healy would be on stage, he'd be doing a song or doing a monologue, and he'd be interrupted by somebody from the audience or from a stagehand. And the person would come on stage, some comedy would ensue, and it would end with Healy slapping that stooge in the face hard enough and loud enough that it could be heard in the last row of the highest balcony. And so from the beginning, the Stooges were involved in this roughhouse, rollicking, violent comedy from the beginning. Things moved on over the next few years. Ultimately, they brought on Larry Fine, and Mo, Larry, and Shemp became known as like the three racketeers, the three Southern gentlemen. They really teamed up with Ted Healy, but Ted Healy was still the boss there. The secret that Mo doesn't let on was that Shemp was the star of the group. He was taller. He was handsomer, believe it or not, when he was younger. He could dance. He could tumble. He could ad lib. That was his big thing. He was a great ad libber. And he was really Ted Healy's co-star in the comedy. When Shemp quit the group, the way Mo tells the story is that Shemp was afraid of Ted Healy. He was afraid because Ted Healy was an alcoholic. He was afraid of getting beaten by Ted Healy. Well, you go back to the actual stories, you talk to people who are scholars on this, and you find out that Shemp actually quit because he wanted more money. He said, I'm actually the star of this show. And Ted Healy said, well, look, I pay you guys a certain amount, all three of you. You want more money, go change the split. They didn't change the split. Shemp took off into the wild blue yonder, into the unknown, and began a 12-year career as a solo character actor in shorts and films, and prospered. Before, around 1946, Curly, who was in the Three Stooges at the time, and they were prospering, Curly had a stroke, couldn't perform anymore, to give up his solo career, or to keep Mo work. And Shemp never got the credit for this. And Mo, in his book, disparages Shemp throughout the entire book. And I read this, and I couldn't believe what Mo, who had survived Shemp by 20 years, was writing about his late older brother.
Did you ever figure out why he did that? Why he wrote these things?
Yeah, it sort of becomes obvious when you look at it. Mo, in his book, writes that, you know, from the age of 11, he wanted to be a thespian. He wanted to do Shakespeare. He wanted to be an actor. He would spend his afternoons in the theater. He would, there was a movie theater in Brooklyn where the Horwitz, or later the Howard brothers, all lived. There was a movie lot there. And Mo tells the story of hanging out by the gates of the lot and doing errands and odd jobs for the various actors and directors and getting himself onto the lot films as a child, playing the bully, playing the kid. Very nice story. Very conveniently, all of the films at Vitagraph Studios had burned in a warehouse fire. There's no record of this. Mo is the only source for this story. And this goes on with a lot of Mo's stories. He was actually, I think, jealous of Shemp, because I think Shemp had the career that Mo wanted. You know, Mo in the late 60s and in the early 70s was going on television shows. You know, he's on the Mike Douglas show. He did radio interviews. You can find them all on YouTube. And he tells this story of, you know, how he was the leader of the group from the beginning. When they left Ted Healy, he was a smart one. because he was the one that started dealing out the hits, the person that was doing the slaps and the pokes. And he also leaves out the fact that for 3 years he quit to sell real estate with his mother. And so, you know, during these formative years of the Stooges, Mo was back in Brooklyn working in the real estate business and directing some community theater while Shemp was on the road. Shemp was conquering Broadway. Shemp was conquering vaudeville, getting his name in the papers in the same typeface size as Ted Healy. He became a solo star with, you know, he was at New York Times. Mo tells a story in his book about he'll never forget the time that he was sitting in Chicago in a nightclub with Ted Healy and watching this little guy playing violin, sawing away on the violin on the stage, doing this great comedy, and his hair was fuzzed out on the sides. And he looked at Ted Healy and he said, "We got to hire this guy." And it was Larry Fine. A great, wonderful story. Not true. Mo was back in Brooklyn with his mother. And again, the records are there. That, you know, I have the reviews from the night they were there at that club, Shemp and the rest of the team. So anyway, Shemp being, you know, known as the fourth Stooge.
Was Shemp ever able to challenge Mo on any of the storytelling, especially in the 60s, or was he long gone by that time?
Shemp died in 1955 at the age of 60. And Mo, he died about 5 years before the Three Stooges had their renaissance on television. And around 1959, 1960, Screen Gems, who had owned all the Three Stooges shorts, you know, hundreds of them that went back to the 1930s, started selling them in packages to, you know, local television stations. I was a kid in the early 60s. I remember Officer Joe Bolton on WPIX would have the Three Stooges show. And so for the first couple of years, the first packages that they sold were Mo, Larry, and Curly. And so we all loved Curly. We were kids. We watched the Three Stooges. I meant we'd watch the Stooges laugh our heads off, hit our brother on the head with a hammer, get yelled at by our mother by saying they're too violent. And then about a year or so, and maybe a year and a half in, they started throwing in these Shemp shorts. And kids are like, "Who is this guy? Where's Curly? We're watching this because we love Curly. Who's this man with this face? Who's this guy?" And so the kids never really got to appreciate Shemp at the time. It wasn't until later. It wasn't until like we grew up and into the 70s and 80s when people started saying, "Hey, Shemp, you know, we can appreciate Shemp." But Mo at this time had a new version of the Three Stooges with Joe Derita. And with this renaissance, they started making films. They had Snow White and the Three Stooges. I think the Three Stooges in orbit or have space will travel, that sort of thing. And they were making television appearances with this new version of the Stooges for a child audience now, because kids were the audience as opposed to regular theater goers who would see a Stooges short before a Jimmy Cagney film in the theater. So that's when Mo started becoming a personality on his own as the leader of the group and telling his version of the Stooges history. And there really was no one to contradict what he said, because who cared? There was Mo, he's telling the story. He's right. Telling stories of the 1920s. People believed him, and it was great and entertaining.
But there was never a challenge by any of Shemp's relatives, kids, grandkids, anything like that?
It's funny. When I go back and talk about the Shemp Goyles, you know, one of the things that Mo talks about is, you know, Shemp was this phobic scaredy cat. Scared of water, scared of dogs, scared of flying, scared of his own shadow. Well, you know, you talk to his daughters, his granddaughters and his daughter-in-law. It's like, oh, he had two dogs. You know, he loved to fish off the Santa Monica Pier. He had a rifle that he used to shoot gophers who got into his victory garden, that sort of thing. It was that Shemp had this persona from his character in The Three Stooges, which was, you know, oh, Mo, there's a ghost. You know, that was his timid character in The Three Stooges, but it wasn't his character. He never played that character at all in his solo career. In his solo career, he had a bag of tricks. He played the henpecked husband. He played the loud braggart. He played, you know, the man from the Far East. You know, he'd put on foggy glasses and do a blind bit where he'd walk into doors. He does a fight scene with Broderick Crawford where he can't see, and it's hysterical. He played the comic gangster, the sort of Damon Runyon gangster in his films. He never played the scaredy cat. And so this whole image of Shemp goes back to, you know, his image as a Stooge, the caricature of, you know, Mo, Larry, Curly, and this is Shemp's character. But he really wasn't like that at all. He actually was very brave in what he did. And when you look at the films he was in, you know, he was in films with, he was in Fatty Arbuckle's last film. He was in films with James Stewart. With he was in The Bank Dick with W.C. Fields. He made five films with Abbott and Costello. He was in a film with John Wayne, Randolph Scott, and Marlena Dietrich. He was in the Thin Man series, the Charlie Chan series. He was, you know, everywhere as a very versatile actor. Some of these films were dramas. Some, most were comedies. Some were musicals. He was able to fit in some places. It might be just a scene that was a little bit of comic relief that really worked. And other ones, he was throughout the film. And for me, who wasn't familiar with this, it was really like a lot of discovery for me to watch everything that Shemp did and to discover what a versatile, gifted actor he was and what he probably gave up by rejoining the Stooges to keep his brother Mo working.
So you had a case of Shemp sacrificing for his brother Mo, and Mo turning around and creating fabrications in his memoir.
Who would write this? Listen, let me tell you this part. Who would write this? Mo writes in his book that Shemp was a bedwetter. And Shemp was inducted into the United States Army during World War II, 1918, the October replacement draft, when there were so many American boys being killed over in Europe. They had to get more guys out there. Shemp was inducted. He went to basic training in, I think it was South Carolina. And then a couple of months later, the armistice was signed. The war was over. Weeks after that, they sent a lot of these soldiers home. Mo writes in his book that Shemp was discharged because he was a bedwetter. And he wrote the joke in his book, if he was in the Navy, they might not have noticed. Ha ha. And again, I went and I found his discharge papers. I found the discharge records. No. He wasn't discharged because of any medical problem or lay in the bed. He had an honorable discharge as a private. He is a World War I veteran. And this is how his younger brother writes about him. And that was the first thing that I just couldn't get over. It's like, who would write this kind of stuff about, you know, their late older brother who did so much for his career?
Was it, do you think, besides jealousy or being envious, was it some pathology there?
I think, again, Mo was able to make this potted version of the Three Stooges history. And part of it was to make every person in that circle, to make them all fit into these stereotype caricatures. You know, it was, you know, I'm Mo, I'm the leader of the gang. I'm the smart one. Larry's just sort of the everyman, sort of the dummy. Curly was this dervish, and Shemp is just this timid moron. And that's how he painted them throughout their careers. And even, you know, Larry, who had several strokes, he wound up in the actor's home, mm-hmm. Here in Hollywood. And in his later years, he was confined to a wheelchair. He wrote an autobiography. As it turned out, he didn't write that book. He had a collaborator who bullied him, wrote the book, made up a lot of stories, and then took all the money. He repeats some of the same stuff that Mo puts in, because Mo was the one who was sort of dishing it out. So whether it was pathology or just he wanted to write his own story. I mean, you know, the survivors write the history. He wrote the history. In this case, the legend became fact. And I think that this may be the first time that somebody is printing the fact and not the legend when it comes to the Three Stooges.
What do you anticipate the reaction, or maybe you've gotten some already, from some of the diehard Three Stooges fans who have this certain interpretation of reality and history based on perhaps Mo's writings, but other possible observations that they have? And all of a sudden you're coming in, you're putting a pin in the balloon.
Well, I do keep track of the fan forum on the ThreeStooges.net website. It's called Moronica, which is, I believe that was the country that the Three Stooges ran in one of their shorts. But anyway, already there is some controversy where people have pointed out, yes, I was really glad to see those discharge papers in the book, see the picture of that, because I was glad to see this bedwetting thing put to rest. But a lot of them can't get over the fact that I wrote that Mo was responsible for Shem's death, early death, and Curly's death. And they don't believe that Mo had the information to know that what he was doing could have possibly led to the deaths of his partners. Basically, Curly, who lived a very wild life, you know, Mo and Shem were both happily married for decades, you know, one wife, families, they were great. Curly was married four times. He lived that Belushi lifestyle that you often find with these, you know, larger than life comic characters. He drank a lot. He partied. He had a lot of women, and he did a lot of damage to his body. He had several mini strokes before he finally had the one that debilitated him and eventually led to his death. And despite the fact that as sick as he got, Mo kept these people on the road all the time, always working, always on tour when they weren't. Their work at Columbia Pictures didn't take the whole year. They had a number of weeks where they would film these shorts, and then Mo would bring them out on the road, and they would do tours. They would start down in New Orleans, go up to New York from there, go to San Francisco, then head to Chicago, constantly on the road. At one point, Curly collapsed on the road and he was brought to a hospital in Santa Barbara, away from the eyes of the press in Hollywood. Where he was, you know, he had liver issues. He had a stroke. He had had obesity issues. And also, when I looked at the medical records, I noticed something else. He had hemorrhaging in his eyes. And you can look at that. That can come from various sources, but it's basically, it comes from getting slapped in the face. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that is the fact that they used sound effects in the films, in the shorts. They didn't use sound effects on stage. And I've got witnesses. I spoke to somebody whose father had seen the Three Stooges in the late 1930s. And he said, that must have been terrific. You saw them live? He said, no, it was actually horrific. Because every time they slapped each other, Mo would slap them. It was real. And it hurt to watch it. Mo's daughter wrote a book about Curly. And in it, she says the same thing. She gives it away. She says, I remember standing in the wings as a child and watching Mo slap Curly. And I winced every time. You would see the spittle fly from his mouth. It, you know, he really hit him hard. And so Curly died of a cerebral hemorrhage in the end. Larry died of a brain hemorrhage in the end. Larry also was known to have had scarring and very rough skin on the left side of his face. He said it was from the slaps he took. Others say, well, it's because he played violin. He said, no, that was from getting hit on stage. And Shemp, although his death certificate says he died of a heart attack, his family, and his daughter-in-law is alive today, who says, I was there when it happened, I was there with the family, it was a cerebral hemorrhage. So the three of them died from cerebral hemorrhages. Mm-hmm. Mo, who was quoted many times saying, I was the smart one. I took Ted Healy's place. I dished out the smacks. He succumbed to cancer. He was the only one that didn't die of a cerebral hemorrhage. So, you know, these were hardcore, you know, vaudeville performers who really, you know, did everything for their art.
There's a video on YouTube you can watch where they appear. I forget the show that they were on, but they were performing with the slaps without sound effects. And I remember watching it and exactly reacting the way you just described people reacting when they saw him live. It was shocking because it didn't have the funny noises, but it was really violent.
Yeah.
You can catch it. I forget what appearance it was, but they appeared on some stage or a television show on stage and without sound effects. And it was not a pleasant thing to watch. It isn't a pleasant thing to watch.
Yeah, there's a funny sidebar to this. When Shemp was in his solo career, he was appearing in Abbott and Costello films. And in around 1942, Abbott and Costello were so popular that Universal couldn't make Abbott and Costello pictures fast enough. So they started making Abbott and Costello pictures without Abbott and Costello. And in a film called San Antonio Rose, Shemp is teamed up with Lon Chaney Jr. as sort of the comic duo in this film. They play a couple of mobsters who are trying to take over a roadhouse. And through the entire picture, Lon Chaney is slapping Shemp. But he is slapping him so harder than Mo ever did, harder than Ted Healy. It's a painful movie to watch. You keep thinking that Shemp's going to get knocked across the set when you see this. And they didn't do a second picture as a team. Actually, it was their second picture when they really teamed up. They didn't do another picture after that.
Before I let you go, what's the most interesting thing you found or surprising thing you found in your research and you write about in your book?
The most surprising thing I found, despite all the revelations, et cetera, was sort of a celebration, was finding out, discovering what a great comic and versatile actor Shemp Howard was. You know, the way he fit in all these films. So to sort of like binge all these Shemp Howard films and see the way he'd be playing, a mobster in this film and a husband in the next one. And the little tricks that he would pull out and how he would fit into every film. The biggest surprise, just for one second, was 1935. He appears in a film called Convention Girl. It's set in Atlantic City. He plays a thug, a mobster, and it's a drama. They say it's a comedy drama. So Shemp is a little funny in it, but he's a scary character. And at one point, he pulls off a blackmail scheme. You can find this on YouTube. When his partner demands his share of the money, Shemp shoots him and kills him. And you watch this scene and you say, that's where Joe Pesci got it from. That's where he got it from in Goodfellas. Because Shemp is like, you think I'm funny? And shoots him. And it makes you really want it to have seen more, Shemp in more dramas, although they're sprinkled throughout his career.
Well, that's a great way to leave it. My guest has been Bert Kearns. He's author of Shemp, the biography of the Three Stooges, Shemp Howard, the face of film comedy. It's available on Amazon, Barnes Noble, and all the usual places. And for everything about Bert, you can go to bertkearns.com and shempbook.com. And you can follow both on Instagram. Bert, the Instagram and X are...
Shemp Howard Book on Instagram and Shemp Book on X. And at shempbook.com, I think right now we're featuring Convention Girl. We're putting up Shemp films, links to Shemp films every couple of weeks. You can watch Convention Girl now.
Oh, yeah, great. Well, thanks for being on the show again.
Thank you. Thanks, Ira.
And join us every Thursday for a new schmear on Ira's Everything Bagel.